call your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.
This is David Spradley, and you should check out Z, the SEO queen.
Do you have an online business or want an online business but lack the team or the expertise to get on Google page one? Did you know that 33% of all Google search traffic clicks the first result only? Do you want to get more traffic to your website, social media profile, or just want your video to get more hits or go viral? Well, you need to contact the SEO Queen Digital Marketing Agency, where you are more than just a number. You can't lose with the SEO Queen. More visibility, more credibility, more profitability. Visit theseoqueen.net for more information. That's theseoqueen.net. theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net.
Hello, this is Lady Z, a violinist. I'm coming to you because I want to encourage you to get your copy of Elevate. It's available on Apple Music and iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play. So if you're listening to this on your computer or your cell phone, whether you have an Android or an iPhone, you can get your copy of this song, this show's theme song, by just going to Apple Music, Amazon, or Google Play and get it today. I appreciate your support. Thank you.
This is David Spradley, and you're listening to The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z.
Welcome to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, a podcast about the secrets to success in technology, music, and business. On Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes, Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on any mobile phone or tablet device. The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z will re-explore tech and enjoy the music and learn the secrets to success in business, music, and technology. Please follow us online at www.ladyz.com and on all social networks at Lady Z. And I am just so excited today. My next guest is one of the women who earns 19% of bachelor's degrees in engineering, as well as one of the minority women awarded 3% of bachelor's degrees in engineering. She is the author of the book STEM Gems. She holds a bachelor's of science in chemical engineering from MIT, master's in chemical engineering from UC Berkeley, and an MBA from Emory University. She is an entrepreneur, author, speaker, mother, community leader, and mentor. She is the mentor to the first Black woman student body president of MIT, Danielle Gathers. And I want to introduce to some and present to others, none other than Stephanie Epsi. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm doing pretty good despite what's going on in our world.
I know between the pandemic and the racism, it's enough to get anybody down, but how is everything in your neck of the woods?
Well, you know, that's a whole nother conversation and podcast. But I'm here in Atlanta, and, you know, things are, it's an interesting time we're living in right now, I'll tell you that. And everyone's experiencing, you know, this around, not just our, the country, but the globe. And Atlanta's no different. So we are, you know, we're on our orders to mask up and stay at home as much as we possibly can. So everything's converting over to online and online conferences and meetings, and just trying to be at home as much as possible. We'll see what happens with schools in the next few months, how that's going to work out. But everything's just sort of in flux right now, you know, with work and with school and with just everything, health. But health comes first, so I'm all for getting this pandemic under control and, you know, doing what it takes to get people well and, you know, for myself to stay well. So.
Right. So I want to kind of go to the beginning of your illustrious career. I mean, I've had the opportunity to see you as an undergrad, and now to see all the things that you've accomplished, and your vision is just awesome to see. Like, what drew you to chemical engineering?
So what drew me to chemical engineering was really my love for math and chemistry that started, I guess, in middle school and high school. And, you know, when I've always really loved math. I think it's just always been fun for me. And I know that's a weird term to use, because so many people find, you know, don't find math to be fun. But I actually have always loved just the logic of it, and just that it, just applications, and it just makes a lot of sense to me. And, you know, it doesn't hurt also that I have parents that are both engineers as well. So it was sort of embedded into the culture of our home growing up as well. And then when I was introduced to chemistry in high school, I just loved the hands-on aspects of chemistry. I loved the experiments that we did, and just, you know, all the cool things you get to do and learn in chemistry class. It just appealed so much to me, so that when it was time for me to think about, you know, a career, I couldn't let go of chemistry and math. And it was like, okay, chemistry and math, you know, together equal chemical engineering. So when I got to college and it was, you know, ready time to kind of state that your major, I never wavered from that, because I was like, what else combines those two? Nothing. I didn't want just pure chemistry, didn't want just pure math. I kind of liked them both equally. And so it was a pretty easy decision for me to choose chemical engineering, because I just wanted the chemistry and the math, and I wanted them both. So I loved, you know, all the courses I took, the straight, you know, organic chemistry, biochemistry, kind of more chemistry-based courses, as well as some of the math-based courses. And then the combination of the two together was brand new material for me, related to thermodynamics and fluid mechanics, and all those were, you know, new topics, but it was, you know, a combination of the two. So that's sort of how I landed upon chemical engineering. And it just all stemmed from, like I said, just I always just kind of had an affinity towards math, and then science, yes, but more so chemistry.
So as you, you know, went through ICE and other courses at MIT, what did you do after you graduated?
So I made the decision after my junior year at MIT to apply to graduate programs. And all throughout MIT, I had been doing internships in the summer. So I was getting some practical experience. My first two internships were at a manufacturing plant, and then my third internship was in a lab environment, and then my last internship was in more of a corporate environment, but still in the engineering space. But it was after my junior year, I was trying to make that decision of, okay, what's next? And grad school is always sort of in the back of my mind. My father went to graduate school. My aunt, you know, family members have been to grad school. So it was something that I was aware of and was kind of open to the possibility of going to graduate school. So then it was like, okay, should I actually apply? Do I want to do this? And so it just made sense. It was the next kind of logical step for me, just, again, based on my family and based on, you know, even before I even was undergrad, I kind of had this assumption in my head that I was going to go, you know, to grad school one day. So it just felt like, well, yeah, of course you're going to grad school. It's just the next thing to do at that point. So then it was a matter of, okay, well, where am I going to apply? And so I remember talking to a couple professors and getting some recommendations on different programs to apply to. And then I spent, you know, my senior year applying to graduate school. And I only applied to two, and I was pretty set on going to the West Coast. I think I had experienced, you know, the East Coast, and I'm from the South, so I just wanted a whole new experience. So I only applied to West Coast schools and decided upon UC Berkeley.
Okay, so once you got to the West Coast and you're going through grad school, what inspired you to, you know, what got you thinking about, you know, women in science and technology and engineering and empowering them? What made you, what was the inspiration for that?
I guess it was my own experience being a grad student, feeling alone a lot of the time, yearning for more women, for more women of color, more people of color, really, you know, got me into a space of, I didn't want to be the only one. I didn't really like that. I didn't want to be one of just a couple or one of a few in the department. I remember being the only Black woman, and I think I was the only Black person, at least from my year. I think when I was in my second year, I think we had one more student to join the department, a Black man. But he and I, you know, we were in different years, so I didn't see a whole lot of him. The desire to have more at the table, to have more interactions with Black women and women in general. And I think it also stemmed from my roommate at the time was in law school at Berkeley. And so I saw her interactions with other students and her in the law school. And they had a really strong, Black population there and women population. And I hung out with the law school students so much more than I hung out with, like, my fellow engineering peers, because I just felt like they had more of a support, so to speak, of they had more touch points and activities and, you know, ways to engage with one another. And we didn't have a whole lot of that in my department. So that's something that I just wanted, and it never left me. And so, you know, fast forward all these years, it's now important for me to make sure that women and girls have that support system and have mentorship and have and just sort of know how to navigate spaces, whether it be grad school, whether it be the workplace, whether it be undergrad, whether it be even, you know, before they get to college, you know, in high school, know how to navigate spaces where you're one of the few women or one of the few women of color. How do you navigate that space and how do you conquer that space? Because it can be very lonely and isolating. Like it was for me and so many others. How do we get through it and succeed? And how do we let it make us better versus let it get to us and, you know, kind of tear us down?
Right. So as you were going through grad school and you were, you know, very connected to the support and the network there in the law school at UC Berkeley, what made you want to pursue an MBA?
So it was also at Berkeley that I joined a program called MOT, Management of Technology, which is a joint program between the engineering school and the business school.
Okay.
So I think that was my second year of the program, and I was in a PhD program. So I was, the plan was to be there for 5 years, though I left after 3 years with a master's, but it was a more longer term program. So in the second year, you have this option to take classes and other programs outside of, you know, chemical engineering or engineering discipline. So the MOC program was presented and it sounded really interesting to me, management of technology. And you got to interact with, you know, the business school, and the business school students got to interact with the engineering school and students. So I kind of started cross-registering and taking classes over there at the business school, which is a whole other, you know, world from
right.
engineering school.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, you know, my first class, I remember just being like a deer in front of headlights, like, what in the world is this? It was just, it was very different. And I'm sure that they felt the same way coming into the engineering school, like, what is this? Because it's very, very different from what I was accustomed
to. It's a different way of teaching.
Different way of teaching, different way of thinking, of course, different terminology. You know, by the second year, I was more, you know, digging deeper into my research. And I wasn't really taking as many classes, but the classes I were, you know, was taking were really through this program. So that was my eye opener to the world of business and just that style of thinking. And so I finished that program, got that certificate, and again, that never sort of left me. I didn't know right away that I was, you know, going to end up going to business school one day, but ultimately, a few years after that, you know, after I graduated Berkeley, and a few years later, I did decide ultimately to pursue an MBA.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, your book, STEM Gems. Tell me about this book.
Yeah, and the subtitle is How 44 Women Shine in Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math, and How You Can Too. So it is a how-to book. And I wanted it to be a how-to book because I wanted a young person to be able to pick it up and learn how they can too. Be a STEM gem, be a woman in STEM. And with the goal, of course, of decreasing and closing this gender gap in STEM and getting more women into STEM fields that have been traditionally male underrepresented by women and male dominated. So this serves as like a how-to book, a book of inspiration, a book of, you know, of exploration, and a book that offers tangible guidance and advice so that the reader can pick up different things that they maybe didn't know about or wasn't aware of or hadn't heard about or had never met someone in that space or had never heard of that career before, and walk away feeling empowered, walk away feeling like, wow, that's really cool. I want to do something similar. I want to go down a similar path. And they can take the information and create their own unique path. And so in writing this book, I first brainstormed careers that I felt were really exciting careers. A lot of them may be known, but a lot of them lesser known, not very popularized in media. I wanted to make them more popular, make them more known, make them more present. So I brainstormed careers first, and then I brainstormed women in the career. And I researched and found a woman who was just doing fantastic work in her career. And then once I found her name, I just contacted her and asked her to be a part of, you know, share her story, be a part of the book, and through sharing her story of how she got to that career. And so again, compiling all these different stories, compiling these different careers. So again, the point is exposure to careers. So there's not, you know, it's only one chemical engineer in the book and then one electrical engineer. So there's one of different types of engineering. So you can kind of see how they're similar, but also see how they're different. Different types of sciences. So many people are interested in science, but really don't know what type of science. It's very vague. They're not really sure. And they may be unaware of certain types of science. Same thing with technology. Different types of technologists out there working in different spaces. I wanted to introduce girls to all sorts of things they can do under the technology umbrella. And even math. Math is an area that most people, you know, outside of education, don't really see how a math career or math degree can lead to a career. So I wanted to help expose some of the really cool careers related to mathematics. So it's all about researching careers, researching women in these different careers, and broadcasting and highlighting what they do and why what they do is so important to the world.
Well, I think this is just awesome. What you're doing is so needed. And, you know, I think a lot of women, a lot of young girls need that inspiration, and young people are inspired by what they see. And when you expose them to different things, that expounds the possibilities that they consider. And so this is awesome. So you researched all these different careers. Can you share like one or two women that you highlighted in the book for our listeners?
Yeah, so the first one that always jumps to my mind is a relative, is my aunt, who the sister of my father is an electrical engineer, my aunt is also an electrical engineer. So, you know, she was inspired by him. And so growing up, you know, she inspired me and my siblings and her own kids. And so there's a lot of people in my family that are in STEM and engineering because of the inspiration we had growing up. So I definitely wanted to feature her. Her name is Carol Espy Wilson, as the resident electrical engineer in the book. One, because she overcame so many different challenges to get to where she is from an early age. Lots of challenges, lots of things that she has to overcome coming from a single parent home. And then ultimately becoming the first Black woman to get a PhD in electrical engineering from MIT. And then after earning her PhD, becoming a full-time professor, as well as starting a company in the work that she does as a professor, she was able to take her research and build a company around it. So she wears many, many different hats, but as a CEO of her company, OmniSpeech, her work is all around voice recognition technology. And if you think about, you know, Siri and Alexa and all these, you know, robots that can understand our voice and, you know, even as I'm talking right now, there's, you know, just picking up on my voice and understanding, you know, what I'm saying. So there's lots of technology that goes into voice recognition, and she's working on the front end of that technology. So I think what she's doing is, of course, changing the world. And she's also making it better and better by allowing these technologies to be to recognize really voices that are really close. So like if you have a voice that's similar to your sister. I know sometimes when I call my parents, they can't tell me apart from my two sisters. And so being able to distinguish, you know, letters or different pronunciations and separate your voice from your sibling's voice, for example. If you have a speech impediment, her technology allows, you know, allows for that as well. So her work crosses a lot of different potential industries and have a lot of different applications. So she's one of my favorites, for sure. And I think another one, if I had to pick just one more, the one that pops in my head instantly is Mary Lou Jepsen, who is a computer scientist. She studies holography and virtual reality and lots of different other technologies. And she's known for the One Laptop Per Child project, which is a project she worked on to bring solar-powered laptops to third world countries that don't have reliable electricity. And these laptops are lightweight and low cost. And they're actually on display at museums. I know they're on display at the MoMA in San Francisco, I believe in New York as well. So she was really instrumental in helping, you know, to connect, get people connected from all over the globe who don't have reliable electricity. And so that is just one of her claims to fame. She has other technology that she's brought to the world as well, but that's one that I just feel like is, has a huge impact, a global impact, and it's something that, you know, we all, you know, should be appreciative of her for creating a space for others to engage and be connected through the internet.
Wow, that's just awesome. I can't wait to share this interview with, you know, more people. And also, where can people get your book so that they can share that with, you know, the young people in their lives and their community?
So the website for the book is stemgemsbook.com. So stem, S-T-E-M, gems, G-E-M-S, book, B-O-O-K. com. That's where you can go to order the book. It's the best place to go to also check out other things that we're doing with STEM Gems outside of the book, or inclusive of the book, I should say, related to our summer camps and our school, our year-round club. And you can also kind of meet, so to speak, the 44 different women and the careers and see them highlighted, you know, see which ones we highlighted in the book as well on the website.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome what you're doing. So I can't wait to get my copy and share it with those in my life who definitely should read this book. So what is on the horizon with you that you want to share with our listeners? Like, what new projects to promote, you know, women in technology and science and engineering and mathematics do you have cooking?
Well, like, you know, we kind of kicked off this conversation with this whole new world we're living in with the pandemic. So that has brought a lot of our programming and our ideas to the more virtual space. 2019 looks very different from 2020. And so in 2020 is all about creating a virtual space to bring women together, but also to bring girls so we can inspire them towards careers in STEM. So just recently, we launched a STEM Gym summer camp, a virtual summer camp that brought together girls from all over the country. And that was great to see. We had originally planned to do the summer camp locally and in person in the Atlanta area where I am. And because of COVID, we had to completely switch gears and do it and make it a virtual camp, which turned out to be really cool because we were able to engage with girls, like I mentioned, all over the country versus just in Atlanta. So I think that was sort of a nice little surprise to be able to do that. And so now in the future, we'll continue to make it a virtual camp just so that we can bring together girls all over, and then maybe even possibly hold in-person camps at some point when it's safe to do so. But in our virtual camp, which was a week-long camp, we introduced girls to, of course, careers in science, technology, engineering, and math. So each day there were hands-on activities related to the careers that we featured in our book, in the book. And then, so the girls were able to connect the career to a real sort of like activity that helped introduce them to that career. And so part of the day was spent outdoors, so there were lots of outdoor activities for them. And then part of the day was spent, you know, in a kind of home-based lab, which was typically the kitchen. And they got to do all sorts of experimentations and observations and, you know, lots of things that real scientists and real engineers do every single day. Also, each day of the camp, they were able to meet a woman in a career, in a STEM career. So they met a scientist on the first day, they met a technologist on the second day, an engineer on the third day, a mathematician on the fourth day. In those interviews, they were, you know, able to really understand what they do and what their day looks like and how they're changing the world and, you know, some of the challenges these women have gone through and how they overcame them and some of their successes and accomplishments. So it was really inspiring for me, but definitely for the girls to be able to hear firsthand from women in these STEM careers. And then also, we also have a special conversation topic each day where we're honing in on some of the challenges of being a woman in STEM. So we talked about the imposter syndrome and gender biases and stereotypes and how to overcome those things. And just lots of inspiration in the camp to help them navigate, you know, where they are currently in their lives, whether, you know, most of them are in middle school or early high school, and how to navigate to their current life, as well as thinking in the future of how to navigate certain situations if they may arise. So it was a full camp, lots of different things happening, well received, lots of great feedback. I think parents enjoyed it, girls enjoyed it, we enjoyed it. It was just well done. I think, you know, that's really what's on my mind these days, is how to replicate that and do more and reach more girls across the country through this program, this curriculum that we have developed, and do it more often. So yeah, that's what's new and exciting for me, having just completed that and now thinking about, you know, the next iteration of the camp.
Well, that's awesome. So how can people stay connected with you and stay informed about, you know, the next camps that are available if they want their children to get involved?
I say the number one way is to sign up for the e-newsletter. So if you go on that stemgemsbook.com website, there is a place where you can sign up for our newsletter, because that's where we send out a lot of information about upcoming programs and things. Social media, of course, is a great place. You can follow STEM Gems Book on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. I think one of those three, whichever your preference is, will be another place to kind of be in the know about what's going on. And also, to have some daily inspiration around women in STEM and learn about some of the accomplishments of some historical women as well as current women, and, you know, just have a daily dose of, like, you know, that kind of was your, like, your morning cup of coffee is your morning dose of inspiration from the social media STEM Gems pages.
Well, that's just awesome. I'm looking at the Instagram now. It definitely has a lot of great, awesome information. I'm just, you know, I think, you know, it's so important for young people to see the possibilities and to also see themselves reflected in these careers, these science and technology and engineering and mathematical careers. This is awesome. And yeah, so you're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music. And we definitely are learning a lot of secrets to success from Stephanie Espy about all the things that she's doing to promote awareness of STEM careers. And this is just awesome information. So before we leave, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about your daughter's photo shoot that went viral. So what was the genesis of that photo shoot, which was so adorable, I have to say.
That is hilarious. So, you know, when you have a young girl, of course, the key thing is to build confidence in girls from an early age. You don't want them to ever have any self-doubt. So that photo shoot, well, one, I came across a photographer on Instagram page, and once I saw the photographer's work, I just kind of like, oh, I have got to do that for my child. It was just the photographers, the husband and wife team, they're just awesome in terms of their originality and the types of, you know, what they try to promote through their work. So once I realized they were not only, you know, their work was awesome, but not only that, but they're actually based here in Atlanta where I live. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're here. They're local. They're not, you know, they're right in my backyard. So I contacted them and just felt, you know, this is something I want to do for my daughter so that she can see herself as a beautiful, intelligent, confident little girl that she is. So yeah, I mean, it was a quite the experience for her, because she got to get all, of course, dressed up, and you know, it wasn't anything too over the top. It definitely was in the frame of, it was a proper age frame, so it wasn't a ton of makeup or things like that. It was just really art. It was like she was the canvas and they kind of created art around her. So there was one particular look that she did where she was inspired by Legos. They asked me for, you know, some of her favorite things to do. And I said, well, she loves Legos and she loves STEM already. And so the thing we came up with was a STEM-based thing. So they used Legos and created her this really beautiful headpiece made of Legos and bright colors like you would find in Legos. And it was a Lego theme. It was a STEM theme. And then another one that they did was just more kind of her natural self, just who she is, her natural hair, her natural skin, just everything, just kind of like love the skin you're in sort of mindset behind that particular look. So those are the two different looks that we did, just herself, just who she is and loving the skin she's in. And then one that was more STEM inspired with the Lego headpiece and jewelry and things like that. So yeah, it was just a really cool happenstance to come across this particular photographer duo. And then knowing that they were local to me, I was like, wow, this is, I have to take advantage of this. And we have the photos and we blew them up and we're hanging them on the walls and just a constant reminder that she, you know, is special and she's kind and brave and all the things that we want our girls to be.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, it has definitely been a pleasure and an honor having you here on the Jasmine Tech Lounge with Lady V. And I just want to thank you so much. And do you have any final thoughts you want to leave with our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, whether you are someone that's in the STEM space or not, I feel like everyone can touch the life of a young person that may or may not already be interested. But, you know, I always like to say you can't be what you can't see. So if you are never exposed to careers in STEM, then it will never be on your radar. And so I'm all about exposure, early exposure. So whether you have a daughter or a niece or a neighbor or a mentee or a friend who has, you know, a little girl, I think it's important to expose her to the many and varied careers in STEM and expose her to the STEM Gems book. And then, you know, we're doing, you know, one step at a time, we're doing our part to help close gender gaps and bring more girls into STEM and support the women that are already in STEM so that they can help, you know, continue to pave the way for others to join.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
This is David Spradley, and you're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z.
Your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.